let the days slip away. I should have been making up my mind. I never opened up, took it all in, and now I'm running out of time. Sometimes I dream about going back, keeping all the things I left behind. But now I know you can't change the past. Way too young to know the reason why.
This is Despite You, a Star Wars original trilogy, Star Wars Clone Wars era fanfic, written by Trixree and read by Rena Jenkins
and Star Lady.
The story is rated PG-13 and is Jen, with additional tags for alternate universe time travel, but like temporary time travel, non-linear narrative,
no plot, plotless, just vibes, honestly.
POV Leia Organa. Leia is not a Jedi.
Force-sensitive Leia Organa.
In which Leia wakes up in the past and confronts a ghost. Angst. Loss of parent. Summary.
These things, as a general rule, do not happen to Leia. No, this right here is really more Luke's purview. If Han were here, he'd classify these events decisively as some Skywalker bullshit. Leia Organa does not lay down for a nap in her office after a meeting and wake up some 20 and change years in the past.
In which Leia does, in fact, lay down for a nap and wake up nearly 30 years in the past.
These things, as a general rule, do not happen to Leia. No, this right here is really more Luke's purview. If Han were here, he'd classify these events decisively as some Skywalker bullshit. Leia is just herself. She's never been anything more or less. And really, she's never had a complex about it. It wasn't as though she wasn't raised royalty. She was. It wasn't as though she hadn't been a rising star in the political world. She was. And it wasn't like people weren't calling her the Rebel Princess. They were. Gods, if who she was at 15 could see her now, on the cusp of 26 and carrying around a simmering torch of resentment for not getting dubbed cosmically special, she'd pitch a fit. At 15, all Leia had wanted, shamefully, secretly, because even then she had known the weight and importance of the duty she carries, but still, despite herself, wanted, was to be unremarkable enough to get some fucking noodles without the full accompaniment of the Alderaanian Royal Guard. It sends a kick through her to think about that noodle stand. Even now, Alderaan long since scattered to dust and debris and a handful of memories, she can taste it. She misses it. Gods, she misses it. It isn't cataclysmic anger. It hasn't got a candle to the other sort of resentments she nourishes. If you'd ask her on any given day what the top 10 things pissing her off are, it wouldn't even register. When she can't sleep, when the insomnia chases her out of bed but the exhaustion keeps her away from work, she thinks about it. She holds it close and lets it warm her all the way through to her fingers and toes. Why not her? Leia isn't a Jedi. Leia won't ever be a Jedi. And though she can claim the blood, she would never claim the name Skywalker. Rebel Princess, yes. Hutt Slayer, too. She's fucking proud of that one. But Skywalker is an accident of her birth. Luke will carry the torch. That was decided at birth. Kenobi took Luke, the Organas took Leia. She won't ever be able to ask why. Did he have more of the Force in him? Why? They shared a carking womb. Is Force sensitivity carried on the Y chromosome? Of course not. There were female Jedi. And she doesn't even want the Force. Not like Luke has it. She has no desire to be a Jedi. No, Leia is just herself, and that's just fine by her. But in her sleepless nights, in her very worst moments, it all comes back to this. She'd stood there, on the Death Star, helpless while her planet died. It's happened 1,000 times since. It happens 1,000 times every day. Leia wakes up, has a craving for noodles, and relives the moment of Alderaan's end when she finally remembers why she can't just scale the wall, ditch her guard, and go get them. That wall, with its creeping brambles of ivy, is gone. Those streets she'd walk to get there, hands buried in the pockets of one of her father's jackets that she'd stolen because it felt like walking around in a hug. Those streets are gone. Her guard is gone. All of it. Gone. And she's dreamed of it 1,000 times since. What if she could have ripped the lightsaber off of Vader's belt, used it to cut her cuffs and slice through the controls, moving quick and sure before anyone had realized what had happened at all? She has pictured plasma turning that control deck to a puddle of melted, useless slag so many times that she can practically smell the burning wires. What if she had choked him, choked them, using nothing but her will to crumple the man that would execute billions? What if she had killed Vader when he came for her? What if? What if she had been the special one? What if the Force had chosen her? So no, this sort of thing does not happen to Leia Organa. Leia Organa does not lay down for a nap in her office after a meeting and wake up some 20 and change years in the past. Leia wakes up in the past. The Senate Rotunda is remarkably unchanged pre-Empire. The only difference, as far as Leia can tell, is the notable lack of statues of the Emperor. Gaudy statues in their absence aside, it takes her very little time at all to locate a fresher, splash some water on her face, rebraid her hair into something less deflated from her impromptu couch nap, and get her shit together. She'd had the foresight to snag a pad of paper and a pen from the office. Not her office, but will be her office, she'd woken up in. Rule number one of going places one is generally not supposed to go is to never go with empty hands. No one stops a swift-walking woman with a stack of paper in her hands. While in the bathroom, Leia pens down absolutely every piece of useful intelligence she can think of. Not for her, but for them, the Jedi. Her father, if he's on planet. Her biological mother, too. When she is done, the three letters are not insignificant. Leia is ambidextrous and both hands ache fiercely by the time she's through. Han had once said it was charming that her calluses were from writing. His, of course, were from his well-loved blaster pistol. The yoke of the Falcon. Thinking of him makes her ache fiercely. Is she missing back in her own time? Does he know yet? Does Luke? Is this permanent? But she shoves it down with ease born of practice. It's easy enough to flag down a scrambled-looking aide in the halls and deposit both the letters for Senator Organa and Senator Amidala with him. Leia would deliver them herself, if she thought she could manage it. Her father died on Alderaan. They'd last spoken a week before her capture, over Hollow. She'd signed off, as she always did, with, "I love you. Tell Mom I said hi." He'd replied, "I will, my love. Be safe." She is so, so glad she'd said it. Said, "I love you." The most important three words in the galaxy, and there's not a day that goes by when she isn't grateful that she said them. Loss isn't uncommon in the Empire. She has heard so many stories, countless stories, from members of the Rebellion to slaves in Jabba's stinking quarters. I should have said it more. I should have told them. I'll always wonder if they knew. The three most important words in the galaxy, and it seems, these days, that half of its inhabitants don't think to say them until it's too late. So no, Leia won't deliver her note to her father with her own two hands. She doesn't think she could manage it. Perhaps it is cowardice, but she cannot bear to look her father in the eyes and say anything but, "I love you. I love you, Dad." Fuck. She pauses just outside the rotunda, ducking off the main path, walking backwards up until her shoulders touch a wall, and drops her head between her knees. Her eyes burn with tears. She swallows them back with every breath until she's practically gagging, tongue moving rapidly in a frantic bid to keep any sounds at bay. Only when she is certain that she has it all locked down again does she straighten and continue on her path. There is one more letter she has on her person. Once all the musts are done, then she'll reassess her next steps. But for right now, she must operate under the assumption that this is temporary. One does not need the Jedi philosophy to place the good of the many above one's own desires. Case in point, all Leia wants is to tell her father she loves him, to hug him one last time, to even breathe in his smell, and yet. Leia flags down the first cab she sees and tells the driver, "The Jedi Temple, please." It peels smoothly away from the curb and she twists around in her seat to watch the rotunda until it is swallowed up by buildings and traffic behind her. She'd met a clone once. They'd met on some shitty rebel outpost on some shitty, smog-reeking planet in the mid-rim shortly after Endor. He hadn't been her contact, but he'd been with her contact when she'd handed over her package. Leia can't even recall what it was. He'd looked at her strangely, this old man. He'd looked at her like he was guilty of something. All big, expressive eyes and tightly set jaw. An apology was practically plastered across his wrinkled forehead in great blinking letters. Leia was used to people looking at her with all sorts of expressions. Hate, love, fear, envy, desire, hope. But never guilt. Guilt was new.
"You go on ahead,"
he'd said to her contact when the exchange was complete.
"I'll catch up."
The man, boy, really, who she'd been tasked to bring to her package to, had looked at his companion with confusion and then back to Leia, as if to ask, "Are you comfortable with that?" Leia had shrugged. It wasn't as though her hand hadn't already been on her blaster the whole time, anyways. It would bother her all night if she didn't figure out what the old man's problem was. She'd been willing to stick around to find out, and besides, it was rather unlikely that the man would try anything in a crowded bar. Leia felt as safe here as she ever felt anymore. The old man had stared at her for a moment longer after the boy had left with those dark, guilty eyes. She'd met his look head-on, content to wait him out and utterly unprepared for what he was about to say to her.
"I knew your father,"
he'd said. Leia had blinked. Her hand had spasmed around her blaster, and she forced it to relax, lest she shoot her own fucking foot off. The smile she'd plastered on her face was more out of practice than anything, the reflex of a politician's daughter, through and through. "Did you?" she'd mused, noncommittal, with the same tone as one would remark about the weather. Gods, she missed her father. She missed him every carking day. The old man nodded, grave.
"Best star pilot in the galaxy,"
he'd replied, and Leia had gone cold down to her very bones. The glass of spatchka she'd been toying with had spontaneously iced over in her grip. She and Luke were working on that. Luke hadn't ever seen anything like it, but had assured her, with all the confidence he usually possessed when it came to this sort of thing, "Yeah, that's probably a Force thing. I don't know. Yeah, probably. I think. Like, 70% sure. 80. "You're mistaken," she'd said. "My father was a terrible pilot. A decent poet, though." And he was. It's part of the reason why he was such a wonderful orator. He grew up with a passion for poetry and the heart of a romantic. According to her mother, without her interference, Leia would have been read nothing but poems as a baby. "Your first words," she liked to joke, "would have been thou and thee." The old man grimaced.
"Right. Niseta. Alitoresia. Taldin,"
he'd added. And it had clicked. Leia hadn't just grown up on poetry. She'd grown up on stories from the Clone Wars, too. Unlike the heavily propagandized version that most children her age learned, she'd had information from someone who'd been in the thick of it, if not physically, but politically. Clones were a fascination to her when she was young. Millions of identical men, once close allies and then turned traitors against the Jedi, against the Republic. Storybook villains. She'd had nightmares that stormtroopers would come for her, and she'd be unable to so much as plead for her life because the people behind the helmets weren't people at all. They were clones, and they wouldn't care if she lived or died. But not all of her father's stories had been the stuff of nightmares. He'd been escorted by clones on official Republic business many times during the war. He told her that what he'd always believed up until that fateful day was that the clones, every one of them, were good men. Individuals. He'd said they spoke Mandoa among each other, the language of their progenitor, Jango Fett. Her father's stories of unthinkable betrayal had manifested an answer when she was 16. Intelligence was often slow to move through the rebellion, and very often need to know only. But eventually, he came to be in the know. Apparently, there was a small unit of defected clones aiding the movement. They'd told a terrible story of mind control trips, of waking up as slaves in their own bodies, their own hands turned against the people they'd loved like family. Leia's nightmares had thus featured a new horror, a loss of autonomy so complete that it could force her to do anything. "You're a clone," she'd replied. Leia hadn't meant to say it. The truth was startled out of her. The old man smiled, wry.
"Captain Rex, 501st, ma'am."
For a long moment, neither of them had spoken. Eventually, he'd taken a long pull of whatever he was drinking, enough to drain his glass in a single powerful swallow. A childhood nightmare made manifest, drinking right in front of her, and Leia felt nothing but sadness. Looking into his eyes, she knew. She knew the reason for his guilt.
"I thought I'd offer,"
he'd began again, speaking slow and deliberate as if he was afraid she'd bolt at any moment.
"To tell you about him. The good parts of him. If you wanted."
Leia had forced herself to take a breath before replying. It had to be painful for him, too. If she remembered correctly, and her memory is practically photographic, the 501st had been Anakin Skywalker's battalion. Perhaps this man sat in front of her was offering something far more vulnerable than simply wartime tales. The weight of loss sat heavy around his shoulders. Perhaps they had been close. Perhaps this man, in another life, could have been part of her family. But most of all, she hadn't wanted to hurt him. She hadn't wanted to be careless in her anger, in her surprise. This man, Captain Rex, he didn't deserve that from her. Only one person deserved her anger in this, and he was long gone. No, she'd replied eventually, her voice somehow steady. I know all that I can carry, Captain. Luke would say yes. Luke hadn't even been angry with him in the end. Then again, Luke hadn't lost an entire fucking world, only a limb. And any tallying of loss aside, he's the better of the two of them, anyways. She cannot be a memorial to Anakin Skywalker. She could not swallow his burden, too. She already carried 1 billion, 1,000 places no one would ever walk again, 1,000 faces that would never smile, 1,000 species of animals and plants lost, 1,000 songs. 1,000 opportunities to say I love you to the people who raised her, her parents, and have them be heard and returned. Maybe it made her a terrible person, her inability to forgive. But all the burdens she carries because of him. Maybe he was not always the monster that ripped apart her life. But that monster is certainly who he chose to be, and that's all the dignity she can manage to afford someone who watched her watch her planet burn.
You take care, ma'am,
the captain had said. She'd felt his sincerity, known that he'd meant it with all his heart. You too. It's easy to see old Captain Rex and the clone who greets her with a polite but frantic,
ma'am? Ma'am, you can't be in here.
As she strides right into what is likely a secure area of the Jedi Temple. Well, secure in theory. I have a message to deliver to the Council, Leia tells him in her best, oh, don't worry about me, I mean no harm, voice. It's incredibly urgent, Trooper.
Right, but stop, you can't.
He catches up to her and, credit where credit is due, doesn't attempt to grab her. The Trooper in white and red armor just plants himself in front of her and says, firm.
You can't be back here without a Jedi escort. How'd you even get in here?
I walked, Leia says.
Past the Temple Guard?
More or less. She'd listened to her instincts. The Force, Luke would say, but Luke can shut up, and discovered a back way that hadn't even required her to go through the front door. Speaking of said instincts, she'd rush past the poor man if she thought she needed to. But the compulsion to move that she's been following is all but silent. No, here is where she is meant to be. As if on cue, a voice travels down the hall, and a pair of men round the corner just up ahead. You've got to be kidding me, falls out of her mouth. She wants to scream. It should be Luke, she wants to shout at the sky. This is a Luke situation. The Force, if it has ever listened to her at all, chooses to ignore her. One of the men is Anakin Skywalker. Leia's feet move before she gives them permission to. It's funny that probably the only reason she manages it at all is precisely because she hadn't been thinking when she'd done it. She'd just done it. Luke always seems to know right when she's about to turn a hug into a pinch fight. He'd said something about intent, and I can feel your evil thoughts, Leia, the last few times he'd dodged his entirely deserved torment. Anakin Skywalker doesn't dodge. Mind blank, feeling and thinking nothing at all, Leia marches right up to him and punches him in the face.
Anakin!
The man next to him shouts in concern. His hair and beard are both a coppery shade of red. She's seen pictures of him before. Obi-Wan Kenobi, a good friend of her father's. There when she was born. In another life, maybe her uncle. Luke's Uncle Ben, a member of the Jedi Council. Leia hands him her letter. This is for you. The trooper reaches to grab her, probably to restrain her, seeing as she has just punched a prominent general in the face, and Leia twists out of the way. Do not touch me, she warns. I'm done, I'm done. She keeps her hands up in surrender.
What was that for?
Skywalker has recovered. He's angry, clutching at his bleeding nose, and very stupidly, painfully human. Shut up! It's not even close to what you deserve, Leia snaps. She turns her attention back to Kenobi. It is easier to look at him. My father trusted you. My brother trusted you. I don't know if this is a vision or what, but if this is real, the information contained in that letter is the most important information in the galaxy.
A vision?
Kenobi asks. He seems rather slow for all that her father talked him up. Why is he stuck on that, of all things? Leia sighs. She straightens her shoulders, pins her antsy clone trooper's shadow in place with a glare, and says in her senator voice, I laid down for a nap in my office today and woke up almost 30 years in the past. So yes, either this is a vision I am having or this is time travel, and I'm more inclined to believe one than the other for obvious reasons. But if there is any chance at all that my actions here have some bearing on the future, you must guard that document with your life and trust above all else that all I have written is true. The future of the galaxy depends on it.
You punched me!
Skywalker blurts. It turns a betrayed look to Kenobi that screams, Are you seriously entertaining this lunatic? And Leia wants to punch him again, just to see if she can manage it. I'll do it again, she swallows. I hate you, she traps behind her teeth. Everything that I have accomplished, everything I've dedicated my whole life to, I have done despite you, and you never even knew I existed. She takes a breath. It fills her up from the soles of her feet to the tips of her eyelashes. When she speaks, it feels like every atom in her body vibrates in tune to the words. My name is Leia, she says, and I do not forgive you. She turns on her heel and strides purposefully away. When Leia wakes, she wakes on her couch. She hangs there, suspended between a gasp for breath and a sob, hand outstretched because she was just about to open a door to the stairwell she is fairly certain she used to enter the Jedi Temple. But she is in her office. Her hand reaches for nothing. The Jedi Temple has been empty for decades. Leia sits up on her creaky office couch. She checks her chrono. On legs that feel too shaky to support her, yet somehow do, Leia walks to her desk. She sits down and enters a number into her comm with fingers that shake. She waits, drumming her nails across her desktop, for the line to connect. Han's face materializes in staticky hollow blue.
Hey,
he says. I love you, Leia says, because she must. Because Han will say it back. And then she cries.
The end.
Should have been making up my mind. I never opened up to get all in, and now I'm running out of time. Sometimes I dream about going back, keeping all the things I left behind. But now I know you can't change the past. Way too young to know the reason why.
Author's notes. Saw this post on Tumblr. Tumblr link in the Podfic metadata. Had a lot of feelings about it. This has no plot, only vibes. Do not lecture me about canon timelines, I did what I want. Rex died at Endor who? Don't know about that. Sounds fake. Bye. Reader's notes. This Podfic was recorded at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim 2022, and I'm very, very happy to have a co-podficker. It has been a weekend of Obi-Wan and Leia, and Leia deserves to punch Anakin in the nose. It's fine. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Trixree for having blanket permission to Podfic. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day. And it all comes rushing back, always.